Hello, everybody. It's time once again for another edition of the Throwback. This is your host, as always, Ryan the Potman, and I have...
Not the mama! I'm hungry! Where can I eat?
Hey, give me that clipboard. We can eat after the show's over. Sorry, everybody. This is my co-host, it's Jimmy's little cousin, Tommy.
But I'm hungry now!
Hey, stop pressing those buttons. You're going to mess something up. Stop! Give me that. Like I was saying, this is my co-host, Jimmy's little cousin. Unfortunately, Jimmy couldn't make it today because he had to attend some family reunion, and I somehow got stuck babysitting his little cousin. He always seems to be going away these days. I really want to... Ow!
Not the mama!
You just threw that rattle and hit me in the nose. That really hurt. Oh. Anyways, folks, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have Dina Plattis, who played Miss Liffey in the iconic movie Billy Madison, on the show today as we look back at this 90s classic and her role as Miss Liffey.
Hey, what does this button do?
Don't press there. You're going to cut us off the air.
Okay. What does this button do?
This controls the power to the studio. Don't press that either.
Okay. I'm going to press this button.
No! You're going to mess up our audio now. Look what you did, you little shit. Sound like having a chipmunk.
I'm hungry. We want food.
Okay. I'll look through the bag your cousin Jimmy left you and see if there's anything after, okay? Anyways, folks, remember, if you like what you hear, be sure to check us out on Twitter, at Throw Podcast, THROW Podcast, and give us a shout. Now, here's our exclusive interview with Billy Madison star Dina Plattis, a.k.a. Miss Liffey. Why is my shirt wet?
I'm not wearing any diapers!
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast. Your stop for everything 90s. This is a throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is best known for playing Miss Liffey in the movie Billy Madison. I am pleased to welcome Dina Plattis. Dina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you ever think that 20 years later you would still be talking about the movie Billy Madison?
Okay, no way. And also, my mom always was like, can you believe how long this has lasted? No. I mean, I really thought it would just be like, you know, you do a movie and then it goes nowhere. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, I guess I'm just used to so many people doing TV shows and they go away and movies and they go away. And I feel so lucky that this one has kind of been there for a long time. I mean, I know some people love it. And some people hate it, but even so, it's there. It's out there.
Yes.
It's great.
This was like Adam Sandler's first movie, I believe.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Wow.
So were you familiar with Adam Sandler's work before you started working on this film?
I was on Saturday Night Live, but I wasn't really watching it then. And I remember seeing it once, and he was doing a sketch about something about a little red wet jacket, something like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah,
he would sing a song about, yeah, so he sang a song about a little red sweat jacket, and that's all I saw, and that's all I knew. And then I went on the audition, I got the part, and the place where I was working at a theater at the time, as a, like, a congratulations gift, they bought me a little red sweat jacket. Isn't
that sweet? That's pretty cool, so. How did you first learn of the Billy Madison movie? You just quickly touched on it, but talk us through the process of how you got to the audition. Like, how was that like?
Well, I was really involved in a theater company called the Actors Gang in Hollywood. And it's Tim Robbins' theater company. And I was in that for like over 10 years. And we would do original plays, and we would do plays that were, you know, classics, like, I was in a Greek classic tragedy play called Orestia, and I was playing Helen of Troy. And from that play, the thing about it was, it sounds, I like saying I was in a Greek tragedy and then I got cast in the Adam Sandler movie. I like saying that, but the truth is it was a comedy. It was kind of like a, they took that play and they kind of made it into a little bit of a comedy. So in the in the actual play itself, they had a screen come down on the stage that was, there was a film projected, and it was me curling with a curling iron Tim Robbins' hair, and he was playing Zeus, and I was telling a story, and I was like, you know, curling his hair, and I don't know. I think that people really enjoyed that part. I don't know if that's why the casting director called me in, but the casting director from Universal Pictures called me in her office after that play, and I was shocked. Like, it was crazy. You know, it's like always a dream to do a play and then be discovered, but it never happens. You know, like, that doesn't happen, but it did. And so I went, she set up an appointment with me, and I got all ready for it, and we had like an appointment at 3 o'clock or something like that. And at 2, she canceled. So I was like all ready, ready to go, ready to drive to the Valley. And then it was canceled. So then the next week she said, let's do it next week. So then the same thing happened. I got all ready for it. And I mean, you know, you have to because it's on screen, you know, when you're auditioning, it's not like a voiceover where you can wear sweats and a ponytail. You know, you have to like put on makeup, put on an outfit, look, you know, presentable, look really good and all of that, and make an effort. And so then I did the next week, I did it again, and she canceled again, the same thing. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. This is not going to happen. And then again, the third time, she did not cancel at 2, but then I went to the office and I waited in the waiting room. And it was 3, and then it was 3:30, and then it was 3:45, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is really torturous on like my being, like my psyche. Everything about it was like nerve-wracking. My whole nervous system was going crazy. And then finally she said, oh, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. And we went in, and she had no idea. She had no intention of having me go in for Billy Madison. She just wanted to meet me. She's like, I really liked you in that play, and I just wanted to get to know you. Right. And I wanted to put you on file so that if any project should come up, then I would have you in my files. And I go, oh, okay. So then I felt kind of relaxed because I wasn't auditioning for anything. I was just talking. So then we got along really well, and she was fantastic. And I really was like, this woman could be my friend. Like, I really loved her. And then she said, you know what? I think we were talking about yoga or something like that. Yeah. And she said, you know what? I didn't think about this before, but will you just come read something? And I said, sure. Mm-hmm. So we went in the back, and she put me on tape or whatever, film or whatever you call it. And she said, will you just read this character called Miss Lippy? And I said, okay. And as I looked at the description of the character, it said, a older woman with blonde curly hair who's tall and thin. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm like everything the opposite of that, mm-hmm. everything. And so I just went, am I supposed to, I mean, this isn't really described as anything that I am. She said, oh, don't worry about it. Just do it like yourself. And I go, oh, okay. So then I did it, the audition, kind of how, like, my sister's a teacher. She's been a grammar school teacher for 30-something years. So I always went to her classrooms, and I met her kids, and I always helped her put up the art on the walls and stuff. So I felt very in touch with, like, grammar school teachers. And so I just figured my philosophy about education is, if you make it fun and you make it colorful and you make it educational, but with like spirit and joy and creativity and touching soft things and squeezing squishy things and all that kind of stuff, I think people learn, or at least I do. That's how I learn.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be fun to make her a very hyper loving person so that kids would feel super safe with her. So that's how and then a week later I got the job, and it was weird because I was temping at a talent agency.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, cause I just needed a job. And so I was working at this talent agency, and the man, there was a duo, it was a woman and a man who, they both they both were the main agents there. And the man was really mean to me, like really rude, because I was a temp, but also he was just mean. Like he was just dismissive and like, what? You know, like annoyed by everything I said. And so he said, so the woman came in, she said, hey, can you work another week for us next week? And I said, oh, no, I can't. I just got a film in Toronto. And she went, oh, and I said, it's an Adam Sandler film. And then the guy was like, oh, hey, if you need an agent, I'm available. And I was like, this is the sickest thing I've ever heard. Like, that is disgusting.
Yeah, it's messed
up. Anyway, that was, yeah.
So how long? So,
that's a mean story.
So, but so for how long did it actually take for you to go through all the auditions in total? Like a few weeks?
Yeah. So I went on that first interview, and then I had to go to another actual audition with the director and Adam Sandler and the producer of the film. And so I went on a Saturday, and everybody that I knew, who was also actor, everybody was actor that I was hanging out with at the time, they all said, an audition on a Saturday? That doesn't happen. That's not real. And I said, no, I already auditioned for this. And this is just a callback. And they go, no one calls you back on a Saturday. So then they like were trying to, I know they weren't trying to psych me out. They were just, I think they were trying to be protective. Like, that sounds fishy. So anyway, I went to the audition, and you know, it was totally legit. It was the director and the producer and Adam. And then I did improvisation with them no real line, just all improvisation about like, what would you, it's kind of about the dance, like that dance that happened on the, during the dodgeball time, you know, the dance that she does with the macaroni.
Yeah.
That dance was, I was saying to them that I kind of saw it like where she is interpreting the words, like, so I was giving an example of like, there's this song called Time in a Bottle, and it says, if I had a box full of wishes and dreams that would ever come true or whatever, that song, I was trying to show them like, if I had a box full of wishes, and I did like a mime or an acting gesture of a box that opens that has wishes come out of it.
Yeah.
And so they were like, yeah, that's it.
That was like one of the funniest parts of the movie, that seeing that dance. That was like, I think Adam Sandler was coming back into the room, and you were doing that dance. It was like
crazy.
Hilarious. It was hilarious.
Crazy. Yeah. And
so what was the inspiration of the Miss Lippy character? Do you know who came up with the idea for this character?
Yeah, you know, I think that the guy who wrote it, you know, I'm not sure. I don't really know. I don't know. I think that in general, to have a first grade teacher who is kind of cuckoo is a funny idea. So, you know, someone that puts paste on their face and does all this experimental kind of stuff on her own because she's kind of like a free spirit. Mm-hmm. I think that's just funny in general.
It
so I don't know if they had, I don't know if like one of the people like Adam or one of the producers or the writer, Tim, had a teacher like that. I don't know.
They might have, yeah. Because that's like one of the most memorable characters. Like, that's the only memorable teacher I remember from the actual movie, because that was his first grade teacher. But the other grades, I don't remember, other than the grade he was with the girl he was dating. But other than that, I don't really remember any of the teachers in the movie. So it was a memorable character for sure. So were you given a lot of creative input for your character during the movie? Did Adam Sandler or any directors give you like a creative input?
Well, I would say yes, because I think this is what happened. There was a director who was originally going to direct the movie, and he was great. And he was the one I auditioned for at the beginning. And then I don't know what happened exactly, if he had something else to do or something happened. I have no idea, but he wasn't the director anymore. And so they had a new director come in. And this is right before, I hadn't shot any scenes yet. So, but when I was with the other director, he was saying, yeah, you know, your costumes are going to be like beige and burlap and you're like a hippie. And I was like, okay. And I said, could there be, you know, some color, you know? And he's like, no, she's going to be more like a hippie or whatever. So then I was really worried because my vision for this person was like having, you know, numbers as earrings and letters as necklaces and, you know, costumes with cherries and fruit all over it, like just like learning stuff. And so anyway, when the new director came in, she said, hey, you know, is there anything that you want to tell me about your character that you need or whatever? And that was kind of a gift, because then I said, I would love it if she had colorful stuff and, you know, educational things, and the clips in her hair were like, you know, puppies or whatever. Like, I just wanted it to be that she was just one walking educational system, like a, you know, just some, you know, kind of over the top and crazy, but also grounded in fun and learning, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that because of the director switch, I think that it worked out. It really was great. And there was like a scene where I had to do roll call, and I just thought it was so boring to have like a pencil or a pen while doing roll call. And I asked the prop guy if he could have any kind of like educational thing, like some kind of fruit or vegetable or some kind of thing, object that would be fun. And he came back in, you know, like he basically ran out, came back with a carrot as a pencil. It was fantastic.
Wow.
So that whole thing, I think I had some say, but basically, you know, the director and the producer and the writer and Adam, they all were really the people that were in charge. I'm so used to doing stage stuff that when you are creating character on stage, you get a lot of, like, it's your choice to say, I really want to wear this kind of thing. I mean, it depends. It definitely depends on the people you're working with. But for the most part, you get to kind of create, you know, I want my hairstyle to be like this. You have a lot of say. And it's so fun because then you could create whatever you want. And when you get in a film, it's like, you don't have the same say. You're kind of more like, here. And you go, okay. And then you kind of make the most of it. But to me, it's not as fun as stage.
Yeah,
you know?
I can imagine. Then we kind of touched on this a little bit, but would you say there are any similarities at all between you and Mrs. Lippy? I know in appearance-wise there isn't, but like in terms of like personality or anything?
Yeah, I love puppies. I love to... I guess I like dancing, and we both have bangs. And when she says that dodgeball time is a special time, you know, all the kids go out and play dodgeball and she gets to stay inside. Mm. It's to me, she doesn't really like dodgeball, and I don't either.
Oh, you don't.
I would say those would be the main things that we have in common. But maybe, I mean, I don't know if you have an observation that you are wondering about.
Weren't you, I think I remember, didn't you mention something one time that you were driving a green car or something?
God, yeah. Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah, I remember hearing, yeah.
That, I really did have a green car in real life. And the weird thing was, maybe they saw it when I auditioned, you know, and maybe they saw it in the parking lot then. I don't know. I just thought it was weird because I never told them I had a green car. And then all of a sudden, Miss Lippy had a green car, and I thought it was kind of magical. I really don't think they knew. I really don't. I don't think that the people who wrote the Tim who wrote the script or any of those people knew, but maybe.
One big magical coincidence, probably.
I mean, it was super cool. I thought that was like I really thought that was the best thing.
Yeah. How long did it take to film Billy Madison?
I'd say June, July, August, or 3 months.
About 3 months, yeah. That's pretty typical for a movie, usually what, around 3 months or so.
You know, I think that those kinds of movies, those comedy movies, are kind of formulaic now, and they really have it down. And I remember thinking that movies would take a year to make. This is like what I think probably, you know, really serious dramas with, you know, major elaborate costumes and all that, they probably take a year to make. And then I don't even know anymore. Maybe everything's faster. But at the time, I was shocked fast it opened. Like, it was 3 months, and then I think it opened in the spring or something. Like, I think they edited it during the fall, and then it was open. And I remember when I was on Sunset Boulevard, there's this, like, I went to school in L.A., so I had been living in L.A. for a long time, and so I always used to drive on Sunset Boulevard, and there was this big billboard on La Cienega and Sunset, which is, it's just, at the time, it was like, nowadays they have tons of billboards everywhere and lit up billboards and all this, but at the time, it was one of the hugest billboards on Sunset, and to me, it was, at least. And so I was driving on Sunset, and I saw the Billy Madison billboard, and I couldn't believe it. Wow. Like, I couldn't believe that, number one, it was coming out so fast, but also, like, we got the best billboard. I just was so, I was so into it.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. It must have been entertaining working on set with Adam Sandler. Do you have any funny stories or mishaps, like, during the film?
Well, I would say that when we did the first grade stuff, there were a lot of kids, and there was a lot of art supply stuff all around. And so he did this one scene where he made a blue duck, and that was great. He made it, and all the other kids had their projects and stuff. But there was another scene where he actually ate the paste. Like, he put the stick in and he ate it. And that was real. Like, he really did eat paste. It wasn't marshmallow or anything like that. He really ate paste. And the girls at that table were like, oh my God. The little girls were in love with him. Like, in that glazed over gaga goo goo, you know, like, And I mean, they were first graders, so I don't even think they knew he was famous. You know, like, they were too young for Saturday Night Live, and I don't think they really knew who he was. Maybe, I don't know. But my God, they were obsessed with him. And there was one little girl, and if you see the movie again, you can see that he's at a table, he's eating the paste, and there's a girl on his right, and she's looking at him, and she kind of looks like Courtney Love, and she's, like, obsessed with him.
Wow. That's funny. Talk to us, there's another funny story about the dodgeball scene in the movie. I heard there's a funny story about Adam Sandler actually hitting the kids with the dodgeball really hard. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I do. You know, there are two things about that. That's funny. Do you know that from reading? Was that written? I didn't know that was out in the world. I mean, he obviously didn't.
He had done an interview on I think Conan like a couple years ago, talking about how he actually hit the kids with a dodgeball for real, and the parents on set were like really angry at it,
freaked out,
and he still did it anyway.
It was so funny, and I remember standing outside while they were doing that scene, and I wasn't like, I kind of forgot that, you know, you always have to be like quiet on the set. And while he was doing that, he was nailing these kids so hard, and not in a mean way, but just, he was in the game. Like, he was really someone who was really playing dodgeball, but he had like adult strength, you know, versus the kids had their own kid strength. Mm-hmm. He was like nailing kids. And I was laughing so hard. I could not stop laughing. And at one point, they had to, like, tell me to be quiet because I was so loud. Like, I was laughing so hard and loud. But
It was a funny scene.
Not because kids were getting hurt.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
So that's like one of my favorite scenes in the movie, too. Him hitting the kids with a dodgeball. It makes it even funnier.
It's so funny. It was so funny when they did it. It was great. Okay. It was really great.
Do you have a personal favorite scene in the whole movie that you enjoyed the most?
Let's see. I guess... I have a favorite scene in the whole movie. I like the part in the movie. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I do like the part in the movie where Steve Buscemi's character is looking at his list of people to kill, and then he scratches off like, oh, I'm not going to kill him, like Billy Madison or whoever it was. I forget who it was, but and then he puts lipstick on really gently. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really funny.
That was
and I
funny.
Also like Chris Farley's bus driver freaking out and screaming and turning red. I was into that.
Yeah,
those were fun. I guess I liked all my scenes. I really liked the character so much that I loved. I loved doing anything.
Yeah.
Anything that she did, I liked. So they were all my favorite.
You know, I want to quickly mention, too, I don't know a lot of people know this, but, like, the movie Billy Madison actually had kind of a star-studded cast. It had Adam Sandler, then Chris mm-hmm. Farley was in it. Then the dad in the movie was actually the same dad that played the dad in the Christmas Story. A lot of people might not know that either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it had a lot of people.
And Bradley Whitford was in it. He was the kind of the bad guy who was the one that wanted to take over the father's company. And he was recently in Get Out, mm-hmm. you know, that movie.
Yeah.
He was the father in that movie. And he was on, like, West Wing and things like that. And Bridget, you know, Bridget Wilson Sampras, she was in tons of movies. And it's interesting. I don't know if this is interesting to you, but I'm going to just say it. And you just tell me if you you could cut it out if you don't want to use it. When I was first in the movie and I went on the set, not on the set, we went to the hotel. We were staying at the Sutton Place, and there was a woman who I recognized, and she was the woman that played the maid Juanita in the movie, and her real name is Teresa Merritt.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid. There was a TV show called That's My Mama. Which
I've seen that show before, actually. I've seen it.
Have you really? Okay. Most people don't know it, but I loved that show, and I was totally obsessed with that show. I mean, you know, because it was a TV show when I was a kid, not because it was, like, you know, the best show in the world, but I really was into it. And so when I was in grammar school, she came to our school as a guest.
Oh, did she?
And she spoke to all the kids, and then she gave everyone, she Xeroxed a piece of paper, and it was about, like, to the students at Montclair School, in order to achieve success, you need to have stick-to-itiveness and tenacity or something like that. And I remember when I was, you know, a kid, I was like, what's tenacity? And anyway, I was so into this. And then she signed her autograph, and I still to this day have that autograph.
Wow.
In my, like, I don't keep stuff like that in general, like, I don't know, but I it was so meaningful to me at that time that that she came to our grammar school. And then I was in a movie with her, like, you know, however many years later, like 20 years later, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of magical. Yeah,
that's everything comes full circle, they say. So
yeah, it's full circle.
That's pretty cool. Do fans ever from the movie ever recognize you on the street without your Miss Lippy wardrobe on?
Yeah, you know, a lot. You know, I went through a period of time where I grew out my bangs. Like, I've always had bangs mm-hmm. because I have a very short forehead, and it's a nice way to just kind of not make, you know, like, it's a nice way to cover the short forehead. Mm-hmm. People have big foreheads and they have bangs, but when you have short foreheads, it's also nice to have bangs.
Oh.
So I had bangs as a kid all through my life, and then I grew them out after Billy Madison. And prior to growing them out, people recognized me all the time. Like, they're just like, just, I think, because my hair, just like the straight bangs. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, are you Miss Lippy? And then, but then when I grew out my hair, I didn't really get that many people who recognized me. And then I went to a pizza place and I ordered just, you know, like over the counter. And I said, hi, I'd like a, you know, whatever, like a slice of, and a woman whose head was down, she looked up, no, she looked down and she was writing on the order and she had not looked at me at all. And then she looked up, she goes, Miss Lippy? And I go, what? And she recognized my voice from ordering the pizza slice, which I love. And a friend of mine who did a podcast, she, I was at her house and her neighbors, you know, they live next door, and I was walking into her house. I used to go to her house all the time and I'd see them and we'd smile and stuff. And one day through the bushes, they went, Lippy, Lippy, like that.
Wow, that's.
And then it was so funny. And then my friend walked out and she said, oh, yeah, they kind of realized, they kept on saying, like, I can't believe that your friend is Miss Lippy. And they, like, watched it every day on their whatever it's called,
that's,
you know,
hilarious.
PCR thing. Oh, it was so funny. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely get it. I haven't gotten it in a while, but it's really funny when it happens.
Well, yeah, when it does happen, it has to be hilarious. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been over 20 years since Billy Madison was released, and it still holds up really well even today, and it's considered by a lot of people, actually, that to be Adam Sandler's best movie. What in your opinion, makes this movie so special and relatable to a lot of people?
You know, I'm not sure. That's my first answer, but then I'm going to make something up right now. Like, maybe because of the chemistry or something of I'm not sure. Like, people, I was so surprised about the feedback. I mean, like, when people, I was just so surprised. But it's so funny because it's so, some people, like I said earlier, some people really love it and some people really hate it. And I mean, like, really love and really hate. So, it really touches something, you know, like there's something about it that makes, it's not like people are like, whatever, I don't care. Like, people have some kind of, I don't know what they tapped into, but it must be something about, like, the child within or something like that. You know, the playfulness of, like, being an adult but not really wanting to be an adult, so you want to continue to play and have fun, but yet you have to have responsibility, but that's so boring. And so I think a lot of people can relate to that because, like, I don't, you know, I want to play. Like, I'm, you know, I remember as a kid, all I did was play. And then you get older and you're like, oh, that's going to work. Ugh. You know?
Yeah. Did you ever keep any memorabilia on set from the movie or anything?
No, because at the time, oh yes, I did, but I don't think it was in the movie, but the costume people, this is, I love that they made me these two skirts and they were out of silk and they were really beautiful. And I think we were going to use them. I think there was like an outdoor scene. It was one of those graduation things where there's a lot of water and a lot of party stuff going on, like he graduated from first grade or whatever. And so they made a couple of skirts for me and we never used them and I still have them. And I don't really wear them, but I just have them folded in a box because I think they're really special. But, you know, I maybe wore one once about 10 years ago. With a bathing suit. That's it. Like, I don't, there was nothing. I would have loved to have had, like, maybe the carrot pencil or carrot, you know, or maybe one of the earrings or something like that. But, at the time, I didn't know. No one offered anything like that to me, and I didn't know that I could ask, and I didn't know that I could, you know, maybe take a souvenir home.
Well, at the time, you didn't know how popular this movie will become either.
Yes, that's right. That's actually a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still keep in touch with any of the cast from the movie?
I don't. For a little while, I was keeping in touch with Bridget, who played his love interest in the movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, lives happen and you just do, you know, go in your own direction and things fade. And I think that for the most part, like with movies, you can be really close with people during the making of the movie, really close. And then you go on to your next project or you go on to your next thing in life and it just phases out. But in my experience, I had very close relationships with a lot of the people I worked with. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't talk or see them at all, I really hold just that, those friendships, in my heart. And that's right. It. Like I just, that's where they are. And that's, and I don't expect them to come back into my life or anything. They just were what they were, and they were really great.
Yeah. Do you have any other projects or anything in the works currently?
Well, we had, my husband and I, we made this this animated short for Disney, and it's a it's called Bedtime for Garbanzo. And it's like a little garbanzo bean that doesn't want to go to bed. And they're made to be in between shows or in between, internet, things. So they're like only 30 seconds long. And we made about, 8 or 10 of them. And so we did, the writing and the voices, and then someone else did the animation for it. And so we're thinking of doing, more along that line, like doing either a continuation of Garbanzo or we have another animated thing that we're working on right now. But, you know, nothing, I'm trying to think if there's anything to see right now. Yeah, probably, I don't think anything else right now.
Okay. Any final words before we wrap this up?
Someone contacted me on Facebook on the message thing. And this woman said, we have a dodgeball team and the name of our team is Miss Lippy's Class. And we would love it if you could come and see our team play. And it was, very, you know, it's very close to where I lived. So I went down there and it was their final match or whatever. And I guess dodgeball now has a great following. I mean, they have leagues.
Yeah.
And so this is the final. And in that, they won the whole final thing. And she didn't tell them that I was going to go there. Mm-hmm. So when they won the whole title of best dodgeball team, she said, you guys, I want you to meet Miss Lippy. And they all jumped in a circle around me and were screaming, Lippy! Like, it was very sweet.
Wow.
And it was very fun to have a dodgeball team named Miss Lippy's Class. And then the other thing is that happened, I guess, last year or something, is there's a minor league baseball team in Akron, Ohio, mm-hmm. and they're called the Rubber Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all of these promotions that are great. They have, like, really interesting promotions. They're very clever and innovative and all of that. And so they asked, because Miss Lippy, you know, congratulates Adam Sandler's character on his blue duck, they thought it would be funny if I came and visited it and to their game. So I went to the game and they had Miss Lippy bobbleheads.
Wow.
I mean, can you believe, like, me to have a bobblehead, wow. I think I made it. I think that's all I need is a bobblehead.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it.
That's pretty cool. Well, it's been a pleasure having this interview with you.
Me too. Thanks for contacting me.
Dinas Pilatas, everybody.
I would like to give special thanks to Dina Pilatas for taking time to come out on a throwback. Her role as Miss Lippy really did help and become one of the reasons why Billy Madison was such a fan favorite for so many people. It was Adam Sandler's first movie, and it's really a testament to him and the rest of the cast and the writers for it to become such a hit classic 25 years later.
These animal crackers taste like crayons.
My eye. Oh, you just threw the edge of that box in the side of my eye.
You have a funny shaped head. Not to mama.
That's it. You're going downstairs right now and you're waiting for your cousin Jimmy.
But I'm hungry. Feed my mouth. Fill my belly.
Those animal crackers were the only thing your cousin Jimmy left for you to eat.
Fine. I'm going to bite you now.
Ow. What are those, teeth or chainsaws? Anyways, folks, while I attempt to get the feeling back in my left arm, I just want to quickly tell you on our next edition of the Throwback in the month of August, our special guest will be the host of the popular 90s Nickelodeon game show, Nick Arcade. Phil Moore will be our special guest as we talk about his time as the host of the hit show and his upcoming project that's coming out. Also, be sure again to check us out on Twitter at ThrowPodcast. To shoot us some feedback and get the latest updates of the Throwback.
What does this plug do?
No, that's the plug to my mic. No one will be able to...
This is my show now, not the mama. Look what I have, Uncle Ryan. It's your wallet.
Wait, what? Let me have that. Give me that. Hey, where's my credit card?
Right here.
Ouch. Where the hell did you get that bat? I wasn't even in here before. Folks, I'm sorry. I have to go. I got a headache. I need to see where Jimmy is so he can pick up this little bundle of... Joy. And probably the credit card company, too. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.